Hello, everybody, and welcome to WITWORKS Radio. This is Lauren Creamer here from Co-ops and Careers, coming back from a long hiatus. I have not been on the air in quite some time, but I am excited to be here because I am joined by one of my newest colleagues and a fabulous employer, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Faith Beatty. I'm an associate director at Co-ops and Careers. I've been here a couple months.
Hi, this is Syed Ali. I'm a research and development engineer working at Vapotherm up in Exeter, New Hampshire.
Syed, we are so excited to have you today. Thank you for bearing with us and all the technical complications. For those of you who were not in the studio with us just now, which is literally everyone, we just had some serious technical difficulties. So thank you so much to the Wire team that came in to troubleshoot twice for us. So Syed, we are so glad to have you. And I'm going to jump right in with questions because I know you have a long drive back to New Hampshire after this one.
No problem.
So how long have you been supervising Wentworth students? You literally just won an award for best supervisor. How did it feel to be nominated and to win that award?
So in terms of winning and being nominated, I was surprised. Firstly, I didn't even know that was a thing that you guys do. And secondly, I just treat my, you know, students as I was treated as an intern and how I know people just want to be treated in general. So to me, it's a very natural way to just be that way with people. So winning an award for it was cool because I was doing essentially what I was going to do. But I'm really honored to be nominated and to win that award. And I know no one in the office is probably expecting it, so it'll be a nice thing they can see on my desk now.
There you go.
In terms of supervising Wentworth students specifically, I think I'm going to shout out my boy Robbie Sheldon. Who graduated a little while ago. He was my first Wentworth student, and I believe that was back in the fall semester of 2017. So it's been not too long, but I've had a good amount of co-ops over my time just doing this mentoring co-op program. I would say I'm close to 10 under my belt directly, and in over terms of overall mentoring, I would say I'm closer to 20 co-ops that we've had.
That's awesome. That's great. So switching gears briefly, tell us a little bit about your career journey. Did you always know that you wanted to be an engineer?
So I don't think I really even thought of myself doing engineering. I actually started out doing pre-med or thinking about doing pre-med, and I graduated up in UNH up in Durham, New Hampshire back in 2015. So the thing with me is I just honestly didn't have the time, money, or funding to do the medical route. And kind of where I grew up, you're a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer. So the engineering thing was kind of commonplace for me to understand that because a lot of my family are. So I had to kind of just buckle down and say which engineering. So I actually started with civil and then decided to go electrical engineering, and that's what I got my degree in. So luckily I still managed to do that in 4 years. So it was kind of a very curvy road to get to engineering.
That's great.
So can you tell us if you had any internships or co-ops of your own while you were at UNH?
Yep. So my first co-op was actually, or I guess I would say internship, was actually at Vapotherm back. I started May 19, 2014. So that was right, I think, end of my junior year that I started over the summer. And that was my first, and then I had one for an automation company down in Massachusetts. But then obviously, both worked out really well. Obviously, the Vapotherm one panned out a lot nicer for me in terms of company culture and then just what kind of work we do. And working in the medical device field, it was kind of closer, I guess, to my heart working kind of in the medical space than it did industrial automation. So Vapotherm actually ended up reaching out to me, and then I actually got the full-time job working as an R&D engineer just through my internship.
Did you end up taking science courses at UNH so that kind of rounded you out in terms of preparing you for this, or do you think that?
A little bit. I was always very good with the biology and chemistry side of things, so that always helped, and in the long run I just added those extra courses onto my workload because I still had to do the engineering ones, but overall no knowledge is wasted in my opinion. So when we talk about the clinical side of anything medical device related, I can chime in much more than some of the other engineers that I know we have on our staff.
That must be really valuable because then you're not doing that extra research on your own, right? You understand multiple sides of something that I would say is I guess you have to have a more generalized knowledge of lots of different areas, right, when you're working with medical devices.
Right, because it's always going to be an electromechanical assembly for most part, so understanding the mechanical and the electrical side. But then on the long run, talking about the clinical benefits of it, just having that biology background and understanding the physiological effects, it pans out much further when I actually need to explain it to people or educate someone on it.
Yeah. You've hired a number of biomedical engineers in the last year or so. Do you find that you're able to talk to them about those things given their strong sciences background?
Yep. And I know, Lauren, we've talked about this before, where I've had students from a lot of different colleges and whatnot. Again, being electrical, I'm selfish in that way, where when someone can speak electrical with me, I appreciate it. And I've noticed that the Wentworth students have a little bit of a higher competency when talking about the electrical engineering side of things. Whether it's just picking up faster or just already doing labs and stuff that require what I'm trying to get them to do. So yeah, it's definitely been helpful for me, and it's just easier to kind of talk to the biomedical students in a way about it. Mm-hmm. I don't touch on the biology side as much, so we don't really tap into that, but overall in terms of skill set, mm-hmm. I would say the electrical is kind of the most important to me because it's the one least amount of people know about.
Okay, great.
So what would a co-op be doing for you? Can you give an example?
Yeah, so it really varies. I don't have a set curriculum that I have every single co-op and intern do every single time they come in. So I have them dive right in. So I teach them as much as I can about the product and the skill sets they'll kind of need. And then I kind of just throw them into the projects that are most important in the company at the time. And then usually I'll assign them a side project that I kind of want them to get done by the end of the semester. So that way they can focus on priorities, time management, and still meeting deadlines that I set for them. And it gets to the point where if there's ever a big project that's just taking all of the company's resources and they're falling behind on something, you know, my question is always, how can I help? And then what do you need? Just so they can, I don't want them to ever feel like they're failing at something that's out of their control, because that's part of my job to make sure that they're on track with everything they're doing. So a little bit more specific.
I can see why you got the manager.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
So I guess one example would be, you know, if I want to change a pressure sensor inside the capital unit or one of the sensors in the capital unit, I will just always tag along the co-op or intern I have and have them do research on what that sensor is trying to do and then give me feedback on what they think it needs to be, robustness, size, working with space constraints and everything like that. So I almost have them do the project while I'm doing the project. And every time I assign them something, I never give them the answers because I know a solution in my head, but I want them to come out with something because there's been a couple times now where I liked their idea so much better than what I had in my head. Right. And I think that's really important. And it's just kind of getting past the ego of, oh, I'm supposed to be the manager and I'm supposed to be in charge. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, we just want to get whatever we're trying to get done. And if the student has a better idea than I do, they have a better idea than I do. And it's just simple as that.
That's fantastic. So let's back up a second.
Yep.
We were talking about this before we were on air, but tell us a little bit about what you're producing at Vapotherm for the students who are listening.
Yep. So we create medical respiratory devices that treats respiratory distress. So if you think about a CPAP or a BiPAP machine and what it's trying to do, we can do essentially the same thing, again, clinically speaking, through a nasal cannula. So you're not forced to be wearing the mask and it's not pressurized. So you can still, biggest benefit is you can still talk, eat, smile, laugh, with your family especially, while you're on therapy and getting the same benefits as essentially a CPAP or BiPAP machine.
So it's a quality of life thing.
Exactly.
Usually.
Exactly. And a lot of the people, you know, they get claustrophobic with the masks. And so we treat patients that are neonates and infants. So at that point, kangaroo care is very important to some of the mothers and stuff like that, just so they can actually hold their child while, you know, they're recuperating or just getting better or growing bigger. But then you think about the complete flip side that we treat end-of-life patients who are, you know, 90, 100 years old. And it's really important for them to be able to actually speak to their family for the last, you know, moments of life. And we can kind of produce that. And circling back to why I chose this route versus the industrial automation route, it's just much more direct patient focused. And every day we're changing people's lives just by letting them talk to their families, either for the first time or the last time, just because they're not wearing a mask.
Well,
that's great.
Do you ever get to interface with patients, people who have you know, found success in using the devices Vapotherm creates?
Yeah, so actually one of our biggest events that, again, shout out to Drew Hogg, who's still a student here. he was my co-op for a little bit, but he was part of our Global Development Week, where we're an international company, so we have sales representatives all over the U.S., but also internationally in the world. So I'm talking South America, Europe, parts of Asia, everything like that. We actually take everyone, fly them into Exeter, New Hampshire, to our headquarters. And our biggest and most important, I would say, kind of ceremony or event that we have at the end of the week is a Patient of the Year celebration, where we actually fly in, you know, one or two or three patients who we think are the most impacted by our technology for that year, and fly in their clinicians and their families as well, and let them give us a good, like, essentially a speech or presentation, whatever you want to call it, on how the therapy affected them and their families. So that's like the biggest kind of in your face, here's what I do and here's why it's important. Luckily for me personally, I do a lot of traveling for work in terms of dealing with the hospitals and some of the respiratory therapists and their managers in a lot of those hospital departments. So for me, I circumvent some of the typical ways and just talk to the managers, and then I've seen it on our patients directly. But, you know, in the hospital setting, I try to avoid patient contact. Just, you know, it's, I let the physicians and clinicians handle that mostly. But that's where I get some of my interaction with them as well.
Mm-hmm. You must find a lot of folks who are inspired by mission in the medical device industry. What's it like working with people in that, I would say, who are dedicated in that way, as opposed to like the internship you were talking about in automation before? Can you see a difference in the team and the collaboration and the energy at Vapotherm that you didn't get in other places?
Yeah, for sure. And again, one of the things is just the drive on why we do things, where I felt like at the last company, so for the first day, for example, I came in 7:30 because I wanted to get there early. I got to the parking lot and everyone's just waiting in the parking lot because the person with the key didn't get there till 8. So I was just kind of waiting there. And then 5 o'clock hits and it's like, all right, everyone, time to go. I need to lock up, when I'm trying to stay late to kind of learn more as I'm going. So in terms of just work ethic, it seemed just much more focused on the 8 to 5 or the 9 to 5. Here, I got people that come in at 6, leave at 7. It's completely get the work done. I don't care as much about the timing. But the thing is, people will always make sure to get the work done, even if it's a very one-off request that one country has, because we know that the patient is essentially the person that's going to be benefiting from this. Mm-hmm. So even though it's a lot of hard work on our end to upfront do it, and, you know, we're just doing this for this one small thing, it's still a patient and the customer that we're trying to satisfy. And we live by these guiding principles that we have. And, you know, one of them is patients and their customers, or our customers and our patients are our total focus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and throughout the office, Lauren, as you saw, we have pictures of our patients all around the office, just to kind of have a reminder of, if you ever kind of feel down, it's like, oh, well, there's this baby that we essentially made live because of our device. And it's pictures of the family that, hey, you can have time with this child now because of this. So it's much more
rewarding. Yeah,
it's much more impactful.
It's really rewarding.
I hear that a lot from the biomedical engineering students, especially the ones who are first going out on co-op, and they're starting to write these cover letters, and they're like, I don't know if my story is too personal, or I don't know if like this is an overshare. And what I tell them is, this is why people are working at these types of organizations, because they're committed to the mission and to giving back to patients. And if you have a meaningful story about a grandfather or an aunt or a parent, you should be writing about that, because that's going to resonate with the people who are working there and the reader, and they want people who are committed to that mission. I mean, would you agree?
Yep, definitely. And just to give like a concrete example, we have a sales team and we have a clinical team. So our clinical team, a lot of them used to work on the floor in hospitals that saw our device and have a personal connection with our device, because it helped someone in their family get better without a lot of issues. So I have one friend who's living in California right now. She gave a patient story, and it was actually about her cousin. And then she talked about how her uncle was on it as well when she actually worked the bedside. So that personal connection is kind of a lot of the reason. And it's kind of, I would just say, put it on there, especially if you're going for a medical device company, because a lot of those people that are working there might have a deeper connection. And in terms of me as a hiring manager, I read and I say, you care about more than just this co-op. you care about more than just this job. There's a deeper connection that you have working with this specific type of technology or just working in the medical space in general that is going to drive you more than, you know, just getting the paycheck at the end of the week or just having something to write on your resume.
Yeah, that's so important.
So can we get specific more to Wentworth? Can you talk about what your experience has been like hiring Wentworth Co-op students and why, as an employer, you would hire
Yeah,
not
so
to put you on the spot.
Right.
he was prepared.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things with Wentworth is so far work. You know, I've posted on WitWorks I think about 2 or 3 times now, and it's always given me a pretty good pool of candidates. And at that point, it's just kind of hard for me to kind of filter through a lot of those candidates, and just decide, hey, again, guys, write the cover letter because I do read those and I do look for those a lot of the times.
Yes.
Because one of the big things is it shows me that you took the extra 10 minutes. Also, please, if you copy and paste another one, make sure you get the date and the company right, because then I'm just not going to even bother looking at your resume. So just quick hits right there.
How do you feel about errors on your resume?
It depends really on what it is. I'm not going to be too much of a stickler on grammatical issues, but again, if it's like a date and the company's wrong and something like that, it's very hard for me to overlook that, because that's just small attention to detail that you should really read up on. And the other thing for me is it does, like you said, Lauren, like it doesn't personalize anything, because then I just know you're copying and pasting to every company you're applying to, and I like someone who has a drive to want to do more, not necessarily the one who just wants to get the co-op.
Right.
So there's a big difference between those for me. So, you know, WitWorks has definitely helped online. And then, honestly, so far I've had very good experiences with just being able to trust my co-ops from Wentworth just to go do their thing. And then I always tell them, go do your thing. I'm available to you. Just text me, call me, email me, whatever, if you have a question.
What's your hiring process? Do you do like a telephone screen and then in person, or what's your...
Yeah, so the way I handle all that, so HR doesn't even get involved.
Oh, okay.
On my end for what I do for the co-ops and internships. So what I do is I reach out to the schools, whether it be Wentworth or anywhere else. I try to set up a connection with someone from careers or co-ops, or I try to get references from my old ones, the old co-ops I've had, and just kind of work from there. And then initially I set up a phone screen, which is usually, I would say, an hour. Is what I set up the time for. If it runs shorter or late or longer, it's open. After that, I will actually try to invite them out to our on-site facility so they can actually see it. And then from there, I'll usually have them interview with my manager and a couple of the other teammates that we have, because all the projects that we do are very team-focused, so we have a representative from all different departments that actually comes in and sits on the team meetings and provides input. So that's why I try to get them involved as well, because I know my co-op's going to be working with a lot of different disciplines, and I want them to be able to understand who they'll be working with and, you know, just understand that you have to talk to each person a little bit differently based on their backgrounds.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I do it. And then from there, we keep in touch. Guys, follow up after that happens. especially for someone in...
Such good advice.
Especially for someone in my position where HR is not my job. So doing all that HR work is a lot of extra stuff. So if I get an actual engineering project just dropped on me, that HR stuff tends to fall behind. It's not saying I'm forgetting about you. It's just not at the forefront of my mind. So that quick ping, just saying, hey, just wanted to check up. Thank you. It reminds me, and I'll get to that first before I even go on with my HR, with my engineering project. So that's why the follow-up is kind of important.
That's a great reminder.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
So, is there anything that you would say to another employer about hiring a Wentworth student if they're hesitant or not quite, haven't quite got to where you are yet?
I don't know. Again, a lot of the resumes and cover letters I've read have been very good, especially when I see, compare it to some of the other schools I get. So clearly you guys are doing something right at the co-op center.
Do you hire first-time co-ops or second-time co-ops?
So this was kind of mentored by me by our old VP of R&D, who's still a pretty good contributor in the company. He's not one to have a student do the same company twice or three times as a co-op, because the co-op is one of the best ways to experience a lot of different companies and whatnot. So say for Drew, I would have loved to get Drew back again, but I know for him it's best to go try to do something else.
Yeah.
Come back, figure out what he actually wants to do, and then if he ended up liking vape with him the best, then, you know, apply and, you know, I'll pull for you or something like that.
Okay.
So, not to say it's a bad thing, especially if you know that's the company you want to work at and you kind of keep trying that. I just think it's better to get an overall value of different companies and what they have to offer, because although I didn't go into the automation, it's helped me a good amount with my current job, even though I was only an intern there.
That's great.
But it's essentially transitioned all of that skill set into the job I'm doing now, and it's helped me succeed a lot. So that's my personal opinion on kind of doing two co-ops with the same company.
Yeah,
I would say
great.
Just get the different experience when you can.
So following up on that, sometimes our students are nervous that they don't have any engineering-related experience when they're applying to their first co-op.
Yep.
Can you talk about transferable skills? What kinds of things do you see on a resume that excite you that are unrelated to engineering?
Yep. I would say a lot of just group project type stuff and stuff that you're doing on your own. So personally for me, I like seeing hands-on stuff that's not necessarily in the curriculum, because I always say this to a lot of the people I interview is, you guys go through the same curriculum, so all the classes and everything you're writing is the same almost for every school as well. So none of that really tells me that what you know or what you've done. I really like knowing the what more or what have you applied all those skills to and all that knowledge to outside of that. I'm not saying you need to be building things 24/7 in your house. Obviously, go have fun. But kind of how you related all of that knowledge back to something else in your life. So I would say that's kind of the things that jump out at me the most.
And that comes out in the cover letter?
Cover letter, definitely, because you can kind of explain right off the bat in a cover letter, say, one example of a project that you did that you incorporated that into. But I can also read it off a resume, and then any extracurricular activities that you guys have going on, because anything different that you're doing aside from your skill set is more knowledge that you can bring into your skill set, no matter how unrelated it may seem. So I also like seeing just some extracurriculars. It doesn't need to be sports, doesn't need to be anything, you know. It's just, oh, I like learning new languages. So I had someone who had 5 languages on their resume, and I'm like, if you can speak more languages than I can, I'm, you know, I'm impressed. So just small things like that. And the other thing is it gets a conversation started. So when I mentioned I do an hour-long interview, and if it runs longer and shorter, trust me guys, it's better if it runs longer. So the more kind of off-topic things that you have, because personally I don't want to talk about engineering for an hour, I just don't. So if you have a lot of other stuff that we can just talk about, like, oh, you know, Albanian, how did that come up?
Yeah.
Oh, my family's from there. And it kind of gets this whole conversation started. Because, again, I'm looking for someone who I'm going to be working with, not someone who's going to be working for me. And I need to be comfortable with that person, just be able to joke around with that person, especially in our office. We joke around a lot. And it really helps. Like, again, we have the motivation of the patients behind us. But when you have a great team that's just joking you and kind of just, you know, giving you sass all the time, it kind of keeps motivating you to kind of keep doing more. So I would say those things are pretty important. Just anything extracurricular or even just strange that you know, just put that on. And again, if they're only focused on the engineering, that's fine. I'm just speaking kind of from my perspective and my manager's and then his manager's perspective. So
that's great. How about specifically if some resume and interview knows?
Again, back to the date thing.
So
date and company name.
Yeah.
Yep, so aside from that basics, this one's a bit tougher just because I'm not too nitpicky on resumes, because I look more for the content than I do the structure.
Interviews? Anything that just is a...
Yeah, never... If anyone asks you, do you have any more questions, I don't care what it is, make something up. Just do not
have that question.
Yeah.
In your back pocket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
Always ask. And also, if you're interviewing more than one person, don't use the same one, because we talk afterwards. And if we ask what question you asked, and if it's the same one, then we know that you're not necessarily trying. Also, don't be afraid to ask questions that aren't work related. Ask what the person does. I mean, they're a person. I'm sure they would much rather do something else than work. So find out something or maybe even a common interest, and just ask
great.
Questions
so
on that.
Connection.
Exactly, and that's how I got a lot of the connections I have. I don't talk engineering mostly to anyone I meet, even in a professional setting. We talk a lot of what we do, obviously, just to kind of ice break. And then after that, I don't think we talk engineering and stuff for a while until like, it really gets into the technical stuff, which I like talking about anyway. But,
yeah,
you know, don't be afraid to ask, like, more personal questions. Like, hey, what do you like doing? Like, where are you from originally? Like, my manager kind of has a southern drawl in some cases. So I'd be like, dude, where are you from? So, you know.
Would you say dude in the interview?
Read your audience.
If it's a dude kind of crowd,
yeah, definitely read your audience, because again, you know, a lot of times, like, again, I'm speaking from my company and my experiences personally, like, me and my manager have, he's probably one of my, I would say, best friends, but also one of the people that has known me the longest in my life at this point, and he's seen me grow from, you know, how I was, you know, about 5 years ago to about now.
That's great.
And it's a completely different person. He makes sure to remind me every single day that I'm definitely different. But again, it's because of that personal bond, not because, hey, Syed, you do great work. No, it's, you know, so you can have a great work relationship, but I like kind of building and fostering that into more. And some of my best friends are the people I talk to at work.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
It builds really strong relationships. Yeah. So, Syed, thank you so much for coming. I have one last question for you before we sign off. Parting advice, the things that you wish students would have burned into their brains.
Yep. And I guess I'm going to circle back because I don't think I actually answered this last question, but going into your first co-op, you're not, and I had the same thought, guys. So going into your first co-op, you're not expected to know everything. And that was the biggest hurdle for me is when I was applying to a co-op and I was like, oh, I have no idea what a respiratory device does or how it works or how this pump interacts with this sensor to do all of this. Like, again, like, school has taught you labs and fundamentals. That's what really breaks down to, because a lot of the times your first month, or not your first month, but maybe like a first week or two, is just trainings and on-the-job trainings. And then slowly from there, you'll just pick up on how to actually use the device, how it's meant to be used. So from there, when you get comfortable with that, then you can kind of dive into, oh, why is this here and not here? What is this part doing instead of this part? And that's when you can kind of dive down and use a lot of the actual engineering skills. Speaking from someone who wants to maybe do more CAD stuff, sorry guys, you're just going to have to know the CAD stuff, so just do that. But in terms of kind of going in, just don't expect that we expect you to know everything. We know this is probably your first, and I make sure to keep that in mind all the time as well when I'm reading at resumes. So clearly, like, there's people that I've had with 3 co-ops under their belt. I've had them, like myself, with 0 when I got a co-op and internship. So it's really about that initial interview. And again, we made it a little bit more personal than just the technical stuff. But again, read your audience, because it really depends on the engineering manager at that point. Again, I'm more kind of outgoing and on the personal side of things. But some managers are just more about, hey, we just need to get the job done. So in terms of soft skills, just kind of also try to pick up on that. Talk to all different peoples. Because the more people you talk to, the more personalities you kind of deal with. And you just know how to react to most of those situations going from there. So, and nothing's going to catch you by surprise if you kind of keep doing that. So keep building your networks. You know, you're not going to know anything. I don't know everything. I'm definitely never going to know everything. So, you know, just stay relaxed. And believe me, if you're nervous and you're kind of stumbling through questions, don't worry about it. If you're just stumbling because you're unprepared, that's the issue. So before you go in, research the company, research what they do. And again, speaking me personally and my manager and our CEO, I don't like yes men or anything like that. And I say I don't know all of the time, literally all of the time. So don't be afraid to say I don't know, but then just explain what you think it is. So always kind of have a response or a solution to the problem that's at hand, even if you don't know. But if you just have no idea, just say, I'll get back to you because I've never researched this, or I just don't know too much about this topic. And I would much rather have that than someone who tries to stumble through. Because again, guys, you're not going to know everything, but at the company I am working at, I am going to know more than you. So if you try to just kind of BS your way through some stuff, I'll pick up on it really quickly. And I would rather have someone that's just honest with me and direct, who just needs a couple minutes to learn something, than someone who just tried to kind of stumble through and just talk their way through a question they didn't know.
You give great
Should write
advice.
A blog about being a supervisor or something.
Really good.
And again, guys, the biggest thing for me is trust, because, again, I'll let my co-ops and students work from home at times, because especially if the weather's really bad, you know, I don't want you driving in the snow or whatnot. So if you have the opportunity or you're working on stuff, I'm okay if you take it home, because I trust that you'll get it done, and I just hope you return that respect or trust to me. And that's really what I believe a manager in, like, a co-op or any employee relationship should really be, instead of just, I'm your supervisor, go do this, this, and this.
You're going to get a lot of resumes. So.
This is, like, the best marketing. You're going to get even more after this. Wow. Well, Syed, thank you so much for hanging around today and braving the abysmal weather with us about your experience, you know, finding your own path in medical devices, hiring Wentworth students, and just, like, general supervisory tips and tricks. Seriously, though, you could write your own blog.
Thank you so much.
No, I'm always helping.
You know, you received the supervisor award today.
Yep.
Yeah. Very clear you're passionate about really developing students and co-ops and your employees. It's great.
And again, I've been in your guys' shoes, so I know how a good internship goes versus a bad one. So that all works out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.